I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Summon your anticipation for an all-new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. This season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix May 16th. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop starting May 2nd.
Welcome to Katie's Crib, a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Your kids, did they prefer your wives over you or you over your wives, or have you just seen the phases go in and out?
We're deep in a phase in my house right now. My daughter prefers me and my son prefers my wife. It's funny because they both go extremes. They're both very sweet to both of us. But like my son, him and I will have a fun moment and I'll say, I love you, buddy. And he goes, I love mom with all my heart more than anything in the world.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Katie's Crib. Adam is very excited about today's episode because we've got a couple guests on today that Adam is a huge fan of. And yes, he's had play dates with them in the park. They all have man crushes on each other and it's adorable. I first met these incredible gentlemen actually doing mom-splaining with Kristen Bell, who was a guest on Katie's Crib season 1. I am talking about Kevin and Evan, who are best known as the Dumb Dads. And if you're on TikTok or you're a parent, I'm sure they pop up on your For You page all the time. The two of them are stay-at-home dad comedians behind the popular Dumb Dad Pod TikTok account. They're also the hosts of the Dumb Dad Podcast, a show that's all about bringing humor to the perils of parenting. Evan and Kevin have been featured on Mom-splaining, as I said, with K-Bell. They've been on Ellen, Today, and Good Morning America for their social media sketch comedy. They also make content for Bubble, a channel on EllenTube. Kevin and Evan, what an honor to spend some time with you today. Welcome to Katie's Crib.
Hey!
Hey! Hi, Kevin and Evan!
Hi!
I'm so pumped about this.
Same.
Adam is such like a fan.
We just had him on.
I know.
Yeah.
How'd he do?
Here's the thing. He had no energy.
Yeah.
Saved it all for you guys. That's how I know Adam. Adam doesn't have a lot of energy. Actually, we both don't have that much energy left for each other. So I'm curious how it's going in your households.
Oh, man.
We've met at a park.
Yes, that's right. We hung out before.
My son is into you, yes. But no, really what I meant was my husband is so into you guys.
Son's a big fan of the channel.
He's a dumb dad too, but I feel like you guys are way
dumber.
Way dumber.
Like way so dumber, much but in a way dumber. Better way. Do you know what I mean? We've crossed paths so many times. We were both guests on Kristen Bell's Mom-splaining.
Yes. That's right.
You guys are paving the way when it comes to the dad space.
It's funny you brought up Kristen because she said that. She was the first one to say that to us.
Yeah.
Once. And I was like, oh, maybe we should stop.
Yeah. Okay. We should go back to bartending.
And Adam feels this way too. And I know my brother is like my best friend too. And he's a very involved dad. And I think I think this is going in a great trend and a great way that dads are way more involved. And there are dads who are the primary caretaker. Tell me first how, and I'm sorry, you have answered this question 1 million times, but not for the Katie's Crib audience, so here we have
That's
it.
That's right.
That's right.
How did Dumb Dads come to be? How did you meet? How did the idea happen?
Kevin and I met doing sketch comedy, and
you're both hilarious.
And so we're doing sketch comedy, like live shows, and then fast forward, we had kids. And then in preparation for kids, like a lot of the wives do, they were like listening to podcasts and everything. And they were like, there's like no dad podcasts out there. And we'd always kind of looked for something else to do together. We weren't really sure what that was going to be. But
the dad podcasts, I will say, the ones that existed were so typical dad podcasts.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, oh, no, there's dad podcasts. The last one was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like they have like, we have a dad podcast now. We have three episodes.
Right, right.
So we thought, okay, so like right before Kevin and his wife, Annie, were having their second child, we thought that'd be a great time to start, like at the beginning of having a baby and just like talking about the experience and
pairing too, which was really fun to be like, I have one, she's almost four or three at that time. And then it was like, we're about to have a second one. You just get to compare like, oh, it didn't go this way this time.
Right.
Yeah, thanks.
Right.
So we just decided, okay, the biggest thing is going to be consistency. We can't put a dad podcast out there if we're not going to
do
if it's
it.
Only going to be once in a while. We're going to have just once a week. So we just thought we can commit to once a week. Let's just sit down and record a conversation. That's where we'll start. And then we're both actors, performers. And so the pandemic hit. We were still doing our podcast. Mm-hmm. We were doing it remotely, which was insane. We were struggling to figure that out for a while. And then when the pandemic hit and like the whole industry shut down and there was no auditions or anything, we were like, now what do? We don't have anything to do. So we started posting like sketches online about
being dads.
And Kevin posted one about being a stay-at-home dad and it did well. And we thought, okay, that's cool.
That's an understatement. It did so well. You guys can go look at all their socials and their TikToks and all their numbers and all their followers and all this stuff. But it's such an inspiration to people.
So thank you very much. We were posting for like 2.5 months or so, something like that. And it was like, nothing really grabbed, and then a stay-at-home dad video did pretty well. I was like, okay, maybe this is like the lens we need to put everything, this is the filter we need to put everything through. So then, I don't know, and then I guess here we are. We posted a couple things that went pretty viral, and Kristen Bell, like...
K-Bell just blew it up.
She did
blew
what
it
K-Bell
up,
does.
And then, and that was awesome, and we thought, oh, cool, that's crazy. She put that in front of so many people. And then next thing you know, her people reached out to us and asked if we wanted to be on Momsplaining, and then we were like, what is happening? Now we get to talk to you.
Yeah. But really, you're paving the way. I know that she said that, and I'm saying it again.
Mm-hmm.
You guys being on the forefront of this, like, why do you think the response has been what it is?
In our emails or DMs, where somebody who's like in the Midwest or something like that, and it's a dad who's a stay-at-home dad, and we've gotten some incredibly sweet and heartfelt messages of just being like, I felt really alone doing this. Mm-hmm. What I'm doing isn't normal, quote, where I am. So you just thank you guys for what you're doing. And that's been the stuff that's like, whoa, made us like pause for a second. We're just, they're the dumb dads. We're idiots. We're just making jokes
here.
It is
affecting change. I mean, we're over here, the moms, you know, working moms. Mm-hmm. I'm doing so many episode topics about how to juggle it all and how to not feel guilty. And at the same time, I'm curious about your experience being stay-at-home dads. Did it feel weird from the beginning? Or were you always like, nope, I'm taking up space. I'm owning this identity. And this is me now.
First, I guess I should say also, we became stay-at-home dads like as soon as we started having kids. We just decided this works great for schedules. And so we'll just be the stay-at-home dads. It sounded fun to us, I think. It was like, I really want to tackle this and do this, but we definitely, like, you were taking your daughter to dance for a while. You're definitely, like, the only guy in the room.
Yeah. My wife said, and I think this is great, she's a great mom, and she does so much for the family, but she's also like, I couldn't do stay-at-home mom. I couldn't do it. And it worked out. At that time, I was bartending nights, like really late, like 9 to 3.
Ugh.
And she'd get home from work at 7. So we were kind of like, oh, this actually works. I only worked like 3 shifts at that time when we started having kids. So it was just like, so 3 days a week, the mornings are real tough. But other than that, it's fine. And we did that. But yeah, I still take my kids to all of the doctor's appointments, the dentist, dance class.
What's the weirdest thing you've gotten? Like, what rude or lovely thing have someone said, whether it be a doctor or a professional or another mom in the class? Like, what are you doing here? Whatever it is. Has that kind of situation happened?
Yes.
Yeah. My favorite, my favorite was I had my radio flyer wagon and I had my daughter sitting in it because we were going to walk down the street, like a couple, like several blocks to the pet store to get dog food. I was like, something to do. Like, you know,
You gotta fill the time.
Right, activity.
You gotta fill the time.
Yeah, gotta kill. It's all it is.
Clock management running, all day.
It's all running out the clock. So I'm like pulling her down the street. She's just looking around. And then I just hear, you gotta talk to her. And I look and there's a mom across the street. Like, you gotta talk to her, dad. Talk to your kid. I didn't want to talk to her ever again. Just out of spite for that woman.
You gotta constantly.
Oh my God. Why is it any of her business? And also, what does that even mean?
I don't know. I think she just thought I just a quiet dad who's just like point A to point B. Get that out of your mouth. And then that's it. And then we're home. I don't know. But it was definitely like so targeted that it was like, this idiot is doing such a bad job. And she saw me for 3 seconds before she was yelling across the street.
You're not constantly
talking.
Filling her ear. Constantly talking. I took my son had like an orthodontist appointment, and I don't know, this is like a year and a half ago or something. And so I take him to the appointment. After the appointment, we're going over like going forward, we want to be doing this practice and doing these things. And then basically I get the whole rundown of how to take care of the teeth, what you want to be doing at night, and then going forward, we want to do this, blah, blah. And if you want, I can call your wife and explain all this to her. Mm. It was just like, do I look that stupid too? Am I just like...
And also what you're battling, these societal norms are so ingrained.
And if anything, Kevin and I knew what we were signing up for when we started putting a bunch of stuff on social media, because the internet is an absolute circus. And we've been very fortunate with a lot of the comments that we get of supportive parents, moms and dads out there. But when that kind of stuff happens in real life, or sometimes in the comments, we just laugh about it. Like, man, guess what? Somebody told me... Because I don't take that personally.
Yeah, what are you gonna
do? More just like, I'm here, I brought my kid, I was able to find my card and pay for it, so
I am an adult, I am a full-blown responsible adult.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's ever the double standard too. I have a very good friend who has three children. When he goes around with the three kids, let's say in the airport on the plane, like people are like, oh my gosh, look at that. It's a man doing all the heavy lifting with child rearing. Everybody get out of the way. What can we do to help? Do you have those experiences as well as the ones where they're like, what are you doing here at ballet? This is not for you. This is mommies and children only. Is there ever the opposite?
I've had that specifically at the grocery store, just waiting in line. I was holding my daughter, not doing anything special. I was talking to her this time.
You learned your lesson.
I was talking. But some, like, it's not always, but it's usually an older woman who will say, he just goes, you're such a good dad. And I was like, you don't know that.
You don't know that. You didn't hear me the way I screamed at her in the car.
Right.
Before I got, or whatever. Like,
I just popped a filling gritting my teeth earlier, but okay.
Like, and I'll say this too. It's so unfair because this is another joke that we tell or something we joke about. It's like, that will happen. And yet you paint this scenario where there's this mom behind you who is by herself with three children who are going crazy, and she's just trying her best to like wrangle them and keep them calm and safe for the moment. Like, she's running circles around you in that moment in terms of parenting when you're just holding your kid, right? Like, and that's not talked about enough either.
Oh my God, it sucks. I can think about it. We've both flown with both of our children multiple times by ourselves. I get eye rolls. How dare you bring children on the plane? I'm like, I'm back next to the toilets where I belong, people. I don't know how else I'm supposed to get my children across the country to visit family. And Adam, when he's flown by himself, people are like, can I help you with your bags? Let me put them up for you. What does he need? And I'm just like, what the fuck?
The cocktail is on us.
Yeah, it's like, oh, like, yay, he's doing something. Like, yeah, he should be doing this.
It's so backwards.
It's very backwards, but I do feel bad. I don't know what it is about people being so shocked when, because I kind of am too. I'm asking myself of it. I'm trying to think of when the dad has been at the mommy and me class, or let's call it the toddler and me class, or the dance sure. class or something. Like, why sure. are we so like, what are you doing here?
It's so ingrained, I guess. I mean,
it's tough because I think there is like, there are a lot of dads that fall into the category, or at least they used to be. I'm sure it's a much greater, less number now, but like that are just like, they do the weaponized incompetence of, mm-hmm. well, you already know how all this stuff. Why should I do it? Mom already knows this
You're so
stuff.
Much better at it than I am, so I'll just let yeah. you do it.
By the way, all you moms listening, whether you're stay at home or you work or whatever, I always tell my mom friends when they're like, I just do everything because I don't even want to take the time because it takes him longer to do it. I'm like, oh boy, you are fucking yourself because yeah. let this be a lesson. You will do everything. First of all, let go of whoever you're co-parenting with doing it different than you and it being worse or better. Who cares? Just let them right. do it, because then yeah. they'll do it and you're not doing it. Go hide in mm-hmm. your room. It's just setting up that the workload should be shared between everybody, and you're really setting yourself up for failure if you're starting from jump doing everything because you want it done a certain way. Big trouble.
Everyone's gonna have a breaking point and you're just stacking on too much responsibility.
Kevin and Evan, when you told your wives that you were like, I'll just be a stay-at-home dad, how did your wives deal with it?
It was kind of more of like, oh, wait, hold on. Like, we've definitely talked about having kids before. And then just looking back, me particularly with our schedule, I was already bartending nights. Mm-hmm. She was working days and nine, you know, till 7. And it was like, I think we have a good situation here. And then, yeah, we had the honest conversation. Was that something you'd want to do? It's going to be a lot of work. And luckily, I had a good support system. I had Evan, and I have my brother and sister-in-law live nearby. So when I had to run errands, I could always drop the kids off if it was something I couldn't bring the kids. But yeah, it was actually pretty straightforward of like, I am a dumb dad, because I was just kind of like, I was kind of the dopey dad of just like, yeah, you can do it.
Did you two decide together? Was it a conversation that you two also had? Like, hey, bro, like, I'm thinking about doing this.
I don't think we.
No, because your kid is a year and a half.
Yeah, my kid's more than a year older. I was the first one to have a baby, right? So
congratulations.
Yeah. And so God, man, just so many paths. But he's right in saying that, like, I felt like a dumb dad too. Like, yeah, I could do that. But it was also like, financially, it kind of made this. When you start figuring out, like, this is how much preschool costs, like, I don't even make that much money. But if I'm a stay-at-home dad, it's like, oh, that's how much I make a month, essentially, because otherwise we'd have to pay that amount of money to have somebody else watch the kid.
To a nanny or a daycare or a babysitter or something.
Financially, it worked. Schedule-wise, it worked. Same thing. I think I had transitioned out of working a full-time job into bartending as well, working in bars as well. Eventually, it was just like, thankfully, we don't have to do that right now anymore. We're trying to turn this into like our job, what we do.
Yeah, guys. Yeah, dumb dads.
It was like two different lives. You're working a job until 3:30 in the morning and then coming home, and then being a stay-at-home dad was like really difficult after a while. The older we got, it was like, this is a difficult switch.
Yeah,
but the dumb dad part comes in with, like Kevin said, just by going, yeah, I think I can do it. I think I will do it. And it goes back to like being involved and sharing the responsibility. The dumb comes into parenting is hard and you're going to make mistakes all over the place. So you might as well just go for it and try it and learn from your mistakes and get better at it.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Summon your anticipation for an all-new season of our favorite Netflix series, Bridgerton. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? And meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. And I sit down with Nicola Coughlin, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix May 16th. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop starting May 2nd.
Evan and Kevin, what's been your most epic dad fail to date?
We talk about this every week on our podcast. What's the dumb thing you did this week? And there's always something.
One that was almost really bad, thankfully it wasn't, everything ended up fine, was when my son was born, I stayed overnight, my daughter stayed with Evan, and then stayed in the hospital overnight, and then the next day I was like, all right, I'm going to go home tonight, and I'll sleep at the apartment with my daughter. So I left mom with the baby. So I get her, pick her up, and then I'm getting all the stuff out of the car. And my wife is in the hospital recovering with our newborn. And I slammed the trunk on my daughter's head as hard as I could.
No.
Yeah. She stepped forward right as I was like, it's a hatchback. So you're just like,
no. Ow.
I'm like, we're going to the hospital. Like, I'm going to be calling my wife being like, hey, we're downstairs if you need anything in the ER.
She's getting stitches.
Right next to the cafeteria.
A concussion. Oh, yeah. I mean, no. But she was okay.
She was totally fine. Apparently, I've got noodle arms, thank God.
But, she's got a thick skull.
But I remember I was like, going to slam the trunk like you do. And she stepped
forward. I did that
forward.
On my mom's head. And I still remember the feeling. Like, I remember it was so bad.
I remember everything about it.
Yeah,
close your eyes
too.
And it's picture perfect.
It's right
clear
there.
Clear image.
Oh. It's right there. Oh, I shut my son's thumb in the van door. Horrible. Horrible. Everything is about that moment too.
Yeah.
What about you, Evan?
Last year, we made this joke all year long about how insane it is that like one day in the middle of the week, you have early dismissal at school. And it's like,
oh, we have that next year. I will meet you at any park. I am terrified.
Yeah. And we always joked about it all year long. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But we're like, I'm 25 for 25. Every day I'm there. I'm not forgetting, not forgetting. And then there was this one random Tuesday where
the second to last Tuesday second, of the year.
Thank you, Kevin. Second, second to last Tuesday of the entire school year. My son was at school and it was the middle of the day. And I literally had a conversation with my wife. This is great. Feeling good. Got work done early today. And I was like laying on the couch relaxing.
Oh, no.
Just
doing nothing.
Doing literally nothing. And my phone rings and it's my son's teacher who is with him in the office. Because it was like 25 minutes past the time that I should have been there to pick him up. And I just completely spaced.
It happens that easily.
It happens that easily.
Was he upset or was he like, all right, dumb dad?
He was like, I think he was a little upset, but she was there with him the whole time. And she was an amazing teacher. She was always there for the kids emotionally. It was like the first year after the pandemic. So that's what the kids really needed after the pandemic, a teacher to really be there for them emotionally. So she was there the whole time with him.
Because you weren't there emotionally.
Because I wasn't there. And I will say this, though. It was after like a 3-day weekend or something like that, where it throws you off. As parents, it always does that to me, where it's like they don't go to school Monday, so then the rest of the week I feel like it's a different day.
Yeah, super confusing.
And I say that because I was like, I went to pick him up and I was like, dude, I'm so sorry. He's like, it's okay. There were a lot of kids in the office. A lot of parents did it.
A lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of them running behind it worked, though.
Yeah, that's probably also true.
Yeah.
Okay, what about your most epic, proud moments of parenting?
When we get to one, we'll let you know. No.
Come on. There's got to be some moment where you were like my son said this weekend, someone asked them, how are you feeling about starting kindergarten in the fall? And he said, well, I'm having two feelings at once. I'm excited and I'm also very nervous. And I was like, oh my God, maybe you're not that. A sociopath. It's dumb dads, Adam.
Sorry for the interruption. I just wanted to replace your mug with a better one.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, pal.
Hi,
bud.
Hi, dudes. Hey, I came in here to give Katie the better mug, the dumb dad mug.
For listeners, Adam was on the Dumb Dad podcast. So by the time that this episode of Katie's Crib comes out, you will also be able to go to Dumb Dad's podcast and listen to Adam as a guest, but also listen to the Dumb Dad's podcast. It's fucking hilarious. But unlike Katie's Crib, which we got to work on our merch, anyone listening to this podcast, the Dumb Dad podcast has a sick ass mug that I will now be consuming.
Cheers now. Bye, bud.
This podcast record. They say hi and bye. Okay, epic, proud.
I have
moments.
A very recent one, and then I'll say my old one that I've told before. But from my daughter, this was a few years ago. There's one night she wasn't going to bed, and you know how that is, where we got to gentle parent our way through it. Whatever, man.
I know.
My parents had it so easy where they could just scream.
Shut the door. I don't want to see you.
Scream and shut the door.
Yeah.
You hear their heavy footsteps and you pretend you're sleeping. Those were the days. No.
Truly.
Anyway, I'm trying to gentle parent her, get her to bed. I know you don't want to sleep. We got to go to bed. She won't. And she's not even like going in her room. She's just like planted in the hallway or the living room. And I was just like, hey, do I need to pick you up and carry you to bed? And she said, no, Daddy, you can't pick me up because it's my body and I choose what I do with it. I was like, okay.
Well done, Kevin. But still, what we are doing is so much harder
than
what our parents did. It's impossible.
I love that story because it is empowering to you as parents, teaching her the right things, but also like, how dare you use my knowledge against me?
It's like, oh yeah.
My son does that all the time. It's like, I love gentle parenting, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Wonderful. But sometimes I'm like, it just bites us like bad. Like it's just. Mm-hmm.
We're hardwired to snap or we're just tired or whatever. And a lot of times it'll take me a while to accomplish something with my toddler, my son, he's just turned 4. So I'll have difficult moments with him. And then when I really pull back and get down on his level and then talk to him, it doesn't always, but it almost always works. And you're just like, oh, I should have done this out the gate. But then something kicked it off wrong. So you were already in a bad mood.
Really interested. What about you, Evan? Epic dad wins.
It's funny. Like, I don't really have like anything that's coming to mind, like a specific moment, but I will say there's moments where I feel proud as a parent when my son, he's 8, he's like me as a kid, and even as an adult, he wears his emotions on his sleeve. He's not afraid to show his emotions. I'm prideful of that, where he'll acknowledge, oh man, something happened at school today that made me cry and it made me feel sad. Or he won't be afraid to say, like, I'm feeling really sad right now, or I'm feeling... But here's a gentle parenting word. I'm feeling big feelings right now. But the idea that like we're teaching our children to acknowledge that it's okay to feel big feelings and then talk those out is like such a healthy way to go through life. And I wish I knew that as, I mean, I'm sure we all, to a certain extent, wish we knew that as kids. And so I'm prideful of that as a parent, that hopefully we will be able to continue to have those open conversations with our children.
Oh my God. If we're still doing these podcasts when we check in at 13, I'm like so curious because you guys are so far ahead of me, like how this is going to go. I love that.
Just going back to the gentle parenting thing though, like that kind of resonated with me. I'm as most of us parents are, I'm an emotional wreck all of the time, especially lately. Like everything makes me cry or want to cry or hold back tears. We took a red eye a couple weeks ago and we got on the plane and my daughter was so excited. She'd been on a plane, but not since before the pandemic. So she doesn't remember it at all. So she was so excited and I was explaining everything to her and I was like, we're going to be going hundreds of miles per hour and then we're going to take off. And then she was like, oh, that's cool. And then what? And then what are we going to be like right next to the clouds? I was like, we're going to go above the clouds. So we're going to go through them and then we'll be above the clouds for a little while. Though it's dark out, so you probably won't see it until we fly back in a few days. And then she turns around, says to my wife, whose mother passed away before they were born, and said to them, hey, Mom, make sure to look for Nanny in the clouds.
Oh, my God.
Nobody was doing well after
that.
Yep,
no, that's a game over. That's just a...
That was tough. But anyway, luckily, the first couple of years, you're dealing with a very small child that yelling doesn't ever make sense. Because they're just infants or whatever. That's not true. Yelling into a pillow makes sense because you're so tired. And
get yourself a screen pillow. You need a screen pillow.
They won't stop crying. All that stuff. That's different. That was the best advice my mom gave you, which was like funny to hear when they open up to you. My mom was just like, I will just say the best advice I can give you is don't be afraid to put the child down and leave the room. I was like, oh, that's a weird thing to say. And then cut to like 6 months later, I did that. Because I needed to.
Was there ever a time where you two haven't been on the same page? I know your kids play like all the time and you're like essentially raising them all together. But like, is one of you more strict or one of you more laid back or one of you more anxious? Everyone has such different parenting styles and techniques and some are like very crazy about like table manners and pleases and thank yous. And some are just like, my kids are just feral. And that's just one example. But had the two of you ever disagreed?
Go ahead, Evan.
I feel so uncomfortable. I don't think so.
Has Kevin ever yelled at one of your kids and you were like, whoa, that's crossing the line. That's actually not how we do this in my house.
I make sure that Evan's not around. I usually scare his kids when Evan leaves the room.
Because like in the girlfriends, it'll be like, if the kids all come into my house, let's say they're swimming right at 4 o'clock or something. And I'm like, everybody for popsicles. And then I like look and some of the moms are like, we don't do sugar this close to dinner time. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck. And then some of the other moms are like, this is a huge sticking point for me. Like, I will make sure that they're totally hungry, like empties. Any sort of thing like a popsicle would not even be thought of until after 6:30, if at all. So that is not what you guys are doing.
We're pretty aligned with the most stuff. I think there was one time I did surprise Evan because my wife and I will not do, not that even one was coming up. It was just a random conversation. We're never going to do sleepovers.
That's the one I was going to bring up.
Surprised Evan, but there's just so many cases of sexual assault with sleepovers.
Oof, God, you're actually scaring the shit out of me right now.
Sometimes it's like, yes, it's a predatory adult, but then sometimes it's just
a brother or sibling.
Kids just being curious, respecting
like they're playing
boundaries.
Doctor.
And then they're like, let me see yours and mine and whatever. And that's like, whatever. Then later there's trauma with that. And there's just a lot of different ways that stuff happens.
What's your plan to mitigate this? Anyone's allowed to sleep over your house or not even that?
Not at all. No. We won't do any sleepover. If we did a sleepover, then we'll be sleeping in the same rooms, if at any at all. But no, we wouldn't. Because that's like all right, guys, go to bed. What are we going to do? Hover there until they sleep? Like, obviously, kids stay up. And
but they can have sleepovers with Evan's kids, or no sleepovers is the rule?
No, we're not going to do any of it.
Probably not.
Wow, that's incredible. I'm always so fascinated when people just know within themselves that this is a line that they have set and that is it. Like, I think that's great.
It's not like I fully disagree with that at all. If anything, it caught me off guard when we were talking about it that night, because it was like, I don't remember why. It was like one of our kids got invited, or it was like, oh, maybe we could do that. And they were like, oh, we don't think we want to do that. And I was like, really? And I think it probably took me by surprise, because I had sleepovers as a kid and I always had a positive experience. So I think of it as like a fun thing, but I never thought of it from that perspective.
Sure.
Our two families are all very close. We have very similar parenting styles. Mm-hmm. We're not afraid to like parent each other's kids if we notice them doing something they shouldn't do something. We're comfortable with that. But yeah, but that was a thing that was like, I probably disagreed with at the time, not knowing like maybe even why I was disagreeing with it, because I hadn't even thought of that perspective before. Mm-hmm. And then once you said that, it was like, well, that makes actually a lot of sense to me, that it was like, if I never had sleepovers as a kid, would that really like change me as a person now? Probably not. So then why maybe take that risk? Or
we don't feel like we're going to be disadvantaging our kids, because every Thursday, for instance, Evan and his family come over, we go live for the Dumb Dads for like an hour on our social platforms, and then we all sit down and have dinner together. That whole time the kids are playing the whole time, and then they're up always past their bedtime.
Of course they are.
And then Evan and his family goes home and our kids go right to bed. And it's like, they're not missing out on anything. If it was a sleepover, the only difference is they'd sleep in the same room and something could go wrong.
But they wouldn't, because they'd be goofing off and then he'd be going in there going, please go to sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
I think parenting changes a lot once you get some, and whoever the stay-at-home person is, if that is what your family dynamic looks like, I think once they go to school, it's a lot better. But do you remember the days before they were in school? For those who are listening who are there, did you nap while they napped? Did you scroll your phone? Did you meditate? Did you like take showers at the end of every day? What did you do?
I was very lucky with my daughter. She was a great sleeper and she would take two naps a day. For a long time, she was taking two naps a day and they were like 2 to 3 hours each.
Wow, that's insane.
Both of his kids sleep so well and have always slept. I've been jealous of him for so long for this.
And that's the real reason I want sleepovers. Your kids are going to mess up my kid's sleep cycle.
Yeah, they're going to find out. They can just like rage all night.
Yeah. No, but I would do one nap for myself and I would do one nap, get stuff done, like cleaning, laundry, stuff like that. So I would make sure. So if you only, your kid only did one nap, set a time. If, you know for the most part how long they nap for. I'd say take half of that time. Maybe you don't have to do it every day. I would have it be like, do whatever I want. Watch a show, play a video game,
watch a program.
Put on a motion picture.
Yeah.
It's just hard when they're that young. Communication is the biggest thing with your partner. Communicating your needs is the most important thing. My wife is an incredible partner and so helpful and often checks in with me.
Oh, I love hearing that.
Yeah, and it's really great. And she often finds time, tries to get time for me. Most every morning now, she kind of takes control because I'll get up with her. She gets up a little earlier. She gets up at 5 and I'll get up at around 6 before the kids hopefully are up, and then try to get stuff done. Once the kids get up, she will take over and do breakfast and stuff so I can do time to myself or get work done, like Dumb Dad stuff. And that's really great. But I really can't express enough, sometimes relationships are good, need to be uncomfortable because you have to tell them if something's bothering you so it doesn't bottle up or whatever. And that's the best thing that can help you, especially if you are the default parent.
I think we do the same thing. I probably try to hide it more, but I don't do a good enough job because my wife will be like, do you need to go somewhere?
You think you need to take a moment? Yeah. And you're like, I'm fine.
Then I'll be like,
you either need to go somewhere to go to the bathroom because your face is real weird.
Yeah. You're sweating. Why are you sweating?
What did you do in the early, because your face was going like, oh shit, my kids never napped. What did you do for breaks and to take care of your sanity?
I would try to nap when they napped. My kids took naps, but there was never like a healthy schedule of 3.5 hour naps or whatever that Kevin would get. We're just like, how in the world?
Times four.
Wow.
So, you know, flex. I would try to nap when they were definitely younger, and it was, and again, like going back to like the half working in bar schedule and like being a zombie for the first 4 hours of the day and just needing like 20 minutes or something would really help. Sharing responsibilities later in the day with my wife.
How do you split up chores in your household? Was it always like, okay, if I'm a stay-at-home parent, were you running everything? It's like not only the kids' lives and the kids' schedules, but are you also running laundry, putting dinner out, packing lunches? Is that all on you as well? Or do your wives pick up some of it?
We still kind of share quite a bit of it. Certainly when my wife has worked from home for a long time, but there's still, I mean, it's sort of at the end of the day, she like handles dinner for the most part. We both enjoy cooking a lot, but she handles dinner probably like four or five nights a week, but whatever needs to get done. She's definitely better than I am at staying organized and having like a list of things to do, which really helps me a lot of the time, because it's like just this past week, we were both feeling super overwhelmed with the amount of stuff that needed to get done. The laundry pile that we hadn't even touched in 3 days to like the tabs in the car were expired and like all the stuff, which is like when that happens, it's hard for me to focus on like one thing because I get overwhelmed with everything.
So she makes a list.
Then it's way easier to like start knocking it off. Just did that check. Then it feels easier.
And you're accomplished when you're done.
Then it feels like, okay, we did something. Let's just start. And then it just starts over every week. But...
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Summon your anticipation for an all-new season of our favorite Netflix series, Bridgerton. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? And meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. And I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix May 16th. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop starting May 2nd.
Odd question. A lot of times when the mom, like my kids just prefer me, and Adam's a fucking amazing dad. And I don't know if it's because my kids are 5 and 2 and they're still really little, but when they were home, your kids, did they prefer your wives over you or you over your wives? Or have you just seen the phases go in and out?
We're deep in a phase in my house right now. My daughter prefers me, and my son prefers my wife. It's funny because they both go extremes. They're both very sweet to both of us. But like my son, him and I will have a fun moment and I'll say, I love you, buddy. And he goes, I love mom with all my heart more than anything in the world. And I was like, okay, that's not what I said. Cool. And then my daughter, she picks fights with my wife. And it's just kind of like, oh, this is that weird feeling, mother-daughter, I feel safe with you, so I'm going to just dump on you all day.
How old is she?
She's about to turn 7.
Oh, I'm interested for that section. Right now, my 2-year-old daughter is just a barnacle trying to like crawl back up inside me. And if daddy comes, she's just mommy, mommy, mommy.
That's what my son is for my wife right now. Just all over her all day.
What about you, Evan?
My son is 8. He definitely loves both of us. He definitely does the thing when if he needs something, he'll go ask mommy. She's like on a call for work and I'm like sitting in the room and he'll be like, can I have something to eat to her? And it's like, I'm sitting right here. Like what, why not?
Does he do that because you're more of the no person? There's more chances that she'll say yes, or does she go to her to get her attention?
No, I'm just like, you don't talk to me until after 5 p.m. Okay. You get the, no, I mean, not at all. Not at all. I don't know why. I mean, it's just like, I think she's just the default parent. Definitely with my daughter. My daughter is 4. When I come out in the morning, my kids wake up early. And when I come out in the morning, like I say good morning to her and it's furrowed brow. Like, why are you addressing me?
Is how my daughter's screaming her head off if he's like taking her, which sucks because Adam is, he's so involved and he does bath and he does dinner and he does all that stuff, but he takes her. And if I'm in the house and I'm not doing it, she's so pissed. And I feel like he can sit through her crying and not have an emotional attachment to it. I cannot.
The other night, my wife went with her friend to like a show. And so I took my son and my daughter to his orthodontist appointment. And then my wife left like in the, like we needed to all go because she was going to leave shortly after we left. So it was like me and the kids for the night. And we are going home and it was like about dinner time, but it was like one of those nights like, hey, mommy's going, mommy won't be home tonight. What do you guys want to do? Let's order some food together and then we can watch a movie or something.
Yeah.
And from the back seat, my daughter's like, where are you going to be tonight at dinner? And I was like, what do you mean? She goes, where's mommy? And I was like, well, mommy's with a friend, so it'll be the 3 of us tonight for dinner. And she goes, right. Where are you going to be for dinner? And I was like, I'm going to be home with you guys. And then it was like really quiet. And I was like, are you okay? She didn't say anything. I was like, are you upset? She's like, yes. And I go, tell me why you're upset. She goes, because I don't like you. And I was like, okay.
Yep. That's Adam's life right
sure.
now.
Sure. Yeah. And so it's just bad. Like, it's so funny because it's like, you don't mean that, but it hurts a lot.
You know what, though? All that gentle parenting, she feels so safe with you that she can tell you exactly how she feels.
Yeah. It's true.
For it's better true. Or for worse.
Yeah.
Okay, very quickly, and I don't want to take up too much of your time. Can you guys even remember back from your perspective, if you had them, was there one registry item from your baby showers that you got or when they were young that you could not have lived without?
Oh, man.
I'm like cycling through all the stuff that we no longer have.
I know. Well, all the stuff that doesn't work anymore we got rid of. Yeah, do you guys kick it off?
I loved the Merlin sleep suit. We used the shit out of the Merlin.
I'd say the Ergo carrier.
Ergo is like an amazing carrier.
I loved how insanely just like suction to your body that would make the kids. And they would pass right out.
You also have star sleepers, so you've heard it here from Kevin on Dumb Dad. Somebody needs to get him a deal with Ergo and Merlin
sleep.
That's
right. Sack.
His
That's
children
right.
are sleeping for 2 fucking 4-hour naps a day or something.
I didn't want them to sleep 2 hours on an Ergo because like my shirt's already wet enough.
No, yeah, horrible. So much sweat. And what about you? Can you remember?
I think, oh man, I'm trying to think of what was like absolute staple stuff that we use. What's the chair where they just bounce back. And
yeah, like, that's the baby Bjorn chair. Baby the Bjorn one chair. We had, but that was the best. I love that chair. I put them in there to shower.
Yeah, I was going to say that was when you needed 5 minutes or.
Yes.
You couldn't hold them all day long, but that was a pretty comfortable place to put them for a minute and they could just like bounce back and forth. It was like a pretty clutch. Some of these things seem so silly, but they're so essential when you're.
Totally.
I don't want to say at your wit's end, but when you're just like overwhelmed with the day of like, again, activity to activity, trying to kill the day off. But with the newborns, like the little babies, it's like hard to like, okay, what do we do now? There's only so many things you can do before you're just cycling back and forth through the four things that you do.
That
all
you have,
long.
The boppy, yeah. The this, the ergo, the that. Yeah. Yeah, you need all those things.
Yeah, before nap and or cleanup.
Yes. Last two questions. Any advice you're giving to your kids do any of the four of them have a birthday coming up?
My daughter's birthday is coming up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How old is she going to be?
She's going to be 7.
Okay. What's the advice you would give your 7-year-old daughter?
Right now,
relax on the attitude
alone.
Towards mom.
No, we're in so many conversations right now. Like, this has like been a very strange age. Death is getting talked about a lot.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Gender is being talked about a lot. It's even something that's so small. Like, my daughter loves to play handball. Loves it. Comes home from school. Wants to play handball.
Awesome.
And we'll play handball 15 minutes. And then she goes and does homework and then does handball more. She plays it at school. She's the only girl that plays handball. And all the other girls make sure to let her know that. They all think it's weird that she's playing handball with the boys. And so it's like hard to like walk this line of like, don't let people shame you into who you're going to be. She has a saying. I don't remember where we got it from, but don't yuck my yum.
Yeah.
And we do that a lot, which is great because then they'll call us out on that. The advice that we're just giving is like, be proud of who you are.
Love that. What about you, Evan?
I would tell my son and both my kids, I would tell them like, don't rush out of being a kid. Like, my son is just getting to the point where it's like, why do you get to do this kind of stuff and I don't? And like these kinds of things. And I sometimes just remind him like, because you're 8. Be in love with being 8, because the longer life goes, there's more responsibility and the harder it's going to feel. Don't rush out of being a kid. Just enjoy being a kid and the stuff you get to do as a kid. I will say this too. I pierced my ears when I was like 19 or 20,
something
like that.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I wore earrings for a while, just liked the look of it, and then kind of stopped. And then 10 years, I've just worn a little silver hoop in like my left ear. Thought it looked cool. And then after a while, like, I never even thought about it anymore. I've just never taken it out, basically. Mm-hmm. Never even thought about it to the point where my son, for his 8th birthday, was like, I want to pierce my ear. He just wanted to pierce one ear. And I was like, okay. And I had hesitation of him doing that. My wife kept going like, why are you hesitating? What? And I was like, I don't know why. It wasn't like I was worried
so
about what people were
going to...
Yeah, I had him. He got it pierced.
That's awesome. Does he love it?
He loves it. Absolutely loves it.
I love that.
We went together. We all went as a family. I held his hand because he was really nervous about it.
Of course. Terrifying.
Doing it.
Yeah.
And then.
Put a hole in your body.
Yeah, they're going to put a hole in your body.
With a needle gun thing.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
It was like, my wife, the more and more we had conversations about it, I was like, I don't know what I'm probably doing this thing where I'm like protecting against what people are going to say about him and I don't want him to get his feelings hurt or something. Right. But like, the more I thought about that, I was like, that's, I shouldn't be doing that. Like, if he wants to explore who he wants to be and how he feels about things and how he wants to present himself, let's do that at a younger age so he can figure himself out. So, so now when I see him change it out and pick a different one or whatever he wants to wear to school and like all of his friends, he's like, I see how happy he feels that he got to do it and how it makes him feel to change it out and go to school. And he's like, oh, my friends kept going around behind my ear to like check if it was real because they didn't believe it was real.
So cool.
Yeah. So then it was like, I'm so happy that he did it.
Okay. Finish this sentence and I'll let you go. Evan, we'll start with you. Parenthood is
a circus of emotions.
I love that. We haven't had that yet. Okay, Kevin, parenthood is?
Parenthood is the hardest reward you'll ever earn.
Haven't had that yet either. Gentlemen, you are lovely. And I'm so glad I know you in real life, too.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having
us. You're going to have a
really
good effect on Adam Shapiro because he's the best, but he also is like...
We'll keep working on him.
Yeah, like work on him, guys. Like work on him. I love him so much.
Hey, listen, he's a fantastic guy. We learn a lot from him as well.
He is a fantastic guy. Really glad you've all crossed paths. Thank you so much for being on Katie's Crib.
Yes.
Everybody listen to Dumb Dad's podcast. Also, guys, tell us all the different arenas and areas we can find Dumb Dad's material.
Yeah, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. We are at The Dumb Dads.
And
we are The Dumb Dads on YouTube. And we are currently rebuilding our LinkedIn, but that should be available pretty soon.
And our MySpace.
And our MySpace, We can't remember
the
password.
I'm such a huge fan. And what
you.
A great resource. And if anything, you learn a lot, but you laugh a lot at everything you guys are making and putting out there. So
thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for having us. This is awesome.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode. I want to hear from you. Let's chat. Questions, comments, concerns? Let me know. You can always find me at katiescrib@shondaland.com. Katie's Crib is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Summon your anticipation for an all-new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. This season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix May 16th. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop starting May 2nd.
In the 90s, New York detective Louis Scarcella locked up the worst criminals.
Putting bad guys away, there's no feeling like it.
Then jailhouse lawyers took aim, led by Derek Hamilton.
Scarcella took me to the precinct and lied.
20 men eventually walked free. Now, in the Burden podcast, after a decade of silence, Louis Scarcella finally tells his story, and so does Derek Hamilton. Listen to The Burden on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.